Hello, and welcome to the Sunday service of Calvary Chapel Foothill Ranch with Pastor Steve DeNicola.
Just last one day. I'm going to be doing a special message for Christmas also this Sunday and the next three Sundays. You might turn in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 9. What I want to look at this morning is God's wonderful plan of salvation. His wonderful plan of salvation. Have you ever considered what if the birth of Christ was all there was to the story? I mean, it's like, what if the story ended after his birth? After the Magi left? What if it all ended there? No death, no resurrection, no church, no salvation. But it doesn't end there. And so this morning I just want to take us through a little journey through the scriptures to discover more about God's wonderful Christmas gift, this wonderful gift we call Jesus. The wonderful Son of God. He was given a wonderful name because he himself is wonderful. And we're going to explore that this morning. This morning we're going to read a lot of scripture together. I want to just wash you with the Word of God. Just wash over our hearts and our minds. I want to focus on Jesus being called wonderful, and why he is so wonderful. And my prayer today is that you might come to discover what I discovered in my research of this subject. I discovered new things as I read the scripture in a new way to understand and look for how wonderful Christ is. Father, I pray that you might reveal yourself in deeper and greater ways to us this morning as we look at the wonderful gift of Christ, whom we call wonderful. Lord, he's done a wonderful work of salvation in our lives. Lord, open our minds and our hearts to your word this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So our text begins in Isaiah 9. It says in verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." So we could literally do a message about each one of these names of Christ. But this morning I want to focus on that name, Wonderful. Wonderful. The Hebrew word wonderful is where we get the word miracle. It comes from the word miracle. Wonderful. Miracle. It has to do with something miraculous, something utterly astounding, something incredibly remarkable. That word wonderful. Jesus is wonderful in his birth. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, it says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." So Jesus had an angel announce his conception, and Jesus was conceived like no other human being ever. Wow. Verse 38. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So Jesus, even in his conception, is wonderful, miraculous, remarkable, amazing. And it came to pass, it continues on in chapter 2, it came to pass in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and lay him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Now, as we read the Christmas story, we often focus on the angel, and we forget or minimize or seem to just kind of pass by the glory of the Lord shone around about them. That's more remarkable than the angel. The glory of God himself, it's called Shekinah. The Shekinah glory of God was illuminating the skies. This is the same glory that carried over the children of Israel during the day and during the night for the 40 years in Egypt as they wandered out into the wilderness. This is the same glory that inhabited the tabernacle and the priests fell on the ground because of that glory. This glory, the Shekinah glory of God, was there at the birth of Christ. Wow. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child, and all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that had they had heard and seen as it was told them. So angels were at the birth of Christ singing songs of praise and glory to God. Whoever gets that at their birth? No one. I'd say that's pretty wonderful. Then we hear about wise men in Matthew chapter 2 that come from the east. They travel hundreds of miles just to see this wonderful baby. Not only that, King Herod is so threatened by this baby called Wonderful that he tries to destroy him. Wow. How wonderful Jesus is. Wonderful at his birth. Wonderful in his conception. But he was also wonderful in his life and in his ministry. Have you considered the childhood of Christ? In Luke chapter 2, it goes on in verse 40, it says, "He grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." And then in 51, it tells us that Mary kept all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So a profound thing in the Christmas story is told to us, and it proceeds on into his early childhood, which we don't know a lot about. But we do know this, that in verse 19 and verse 51, it tells us that Mary was so overwhelmed by the miraculous that was taking place at the birth of her son, and during his childhood events, she pondered these things in her heart. Meaning, she didn't have words to describe or put form to what she had seen and witnessed taking place. It was too wonderful. It was beyond description. His birth, his childhood, was so miraculous that it left Mary speechless. So when Jesus enters into his earthly ministry, now the world is going to discover how wonderful he is. The nation of Israel will be introduced to this wonderful Jesus. So we're told in Luke chapter 4, after his baptism, when Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, news of him went out throughout all the surrounding regions, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. Do you realize that the Gospels talk more about Jesus' teaching than anything else? How much he taught the people and how amazed they were by his teaching. We kind of pass by those things because we're so astounded and focused on the miracles. But they were astounded by the teaching. His message, his words were wonderful. It tells us in verse 32, "And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority." They'd never heard anything like what he was saying. And indeed, as we read the scriptures, it's not like anything else we've ever read or heard. Of course, Jesus did many wonderful things. He did many miracles. He healed all manner of disease and sickness. He raised dead people back to life. He cleansed lepers. He cast out demons. I mean, truly, his life, his ministry, was wonderful. But it didn't stop there, because Jesus was also wonderful in his death. Philippians chapter 2 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. We lose sight oftentimes of the wonderfulness of his humility, how humble he was. He came not only to be like us in human flesh, but he came as a servant to serve God, and he came to serve us. Oh my goodness. And then he becomes obedient and takes the servant place to the point of humiliation upon the cross of crucifixion. It doesn't get more humble than that. Hebrews 9 tells us, not with the blood of goats or calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. He obtained for you and for I eternal redemption, and it cost him his own blood. Eternal redemption. That means no one can take it away from us. And it also means it never expires. It's a redemption that lasts eternity. It doesn't just last 10,000 years, 10 million years, or 10 billion years. It's forever. Consider the comfort, the security that we have when we consider that. There's no expiration date to our salvation and our eternity with Christ. No expiration date. Now, most of the things you have in your kitchen have an expiration date on them. And most of them have a best used by date. But the salvation of God has no expiration date. It is best used by the date of our death here to share with other people, but it never, ever expires. Wow. Romans 5 says, for if we, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So we were enemies with God, and at that point, he reconciled us, Jesus Christ reconciled us to God, his Father, and we are saved by his life. The only life that he has to give, by the way, is eternal life. He doesn't have a non-eternal life to give. He gives one type of life, eternal life. He calls it abundant life, right here and now and on into eternity. So, what really took place at the cross? It blows my mind. Jesus took my sin upon himself at the cross. He literally became sin for us. Doesn't just wear it like a garment. He becomes sinner. He takes the name, the shame, the guilt, the condemnation, and the punishment of sin upon himself. I don't fully comprehend that. It's too wonderful for me. 2 Corinthians 5:21 is one of the most profound verses in the Bible to me. It says, for he, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm going to have eternity, you and I both, to explore the depths of that treasure. But just a little bit of what we can glean from that is this, and their key point here. Jesus became what we were so we can become what he is. So he becomes what we were at a very lowest, the very worst about you, the very worst about me, so that I can become and you can become the very best of who he is. that is too wonderful. It's amazing. So Jesus was wonderful in his birth, his life and ministry, is wonderful in his death, but he was also wonderful in his resurrection. Now, if you're a note taker, I'm sorry, but your notes, I left off this next part of Jesus being wonderful in his resurrection. So turn your notes over. There's a half a page there for you. Just write down, Jesus is wonderful in his resurrection. And the scriptures I'm going to start with here on this point that aren't in your notes is Acts chapter 10, verse 36 through 43. Acts chapter 10, verse 36 through 43. Talks about the ministry of Christ. Paul is talking about what happened after the resurrection of Christ. And he says this, "The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all these things which he both did in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to the witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sin." The forgiveness of our sin is given to us through the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Believing, having faith in, clinging to his wonderful name, we are told, brings forgiveness of our sin. Cleansing of our sin takes place by faith in this wonderful name. So after Jesus rose from the dead, he commands his disciples to go out into all the world and preach in this wonderful name, his wonderful victory through the resurrection of the dead. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo," he says, "I am with you even to the end of the age." Go out in my wonderful name, baptize in my wonderful name, teach in my wonderful name, and I am with you always. Always. My name, my wonderful name, is upon you always and is with you. You go in that name. Wow. And so through the resurrection of Christ, he lives forever. Because Christ lives forever, his victory is forever and his salvation is forever. It's key. It's all tied together. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24 through 25, Hebrews 7, 24 and 25, "But he, because he," Jesus, "continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." So Jesus Christ lives forever. He gained a forever salvation, and he lives forever to make intercession for you and I. He saves us to the uttermost. He saves us fully, completely. There's nothing we can add to that. There's nothing that can be taken away from that. He saves us completely. And he always lives to make intercession for us. He always lives throughout eternity. And because we are in him, And he lives forever. We live forever in him, through him, and with him. Amen? But it gets better than that. His name is wonderful at conception, at birth. His name is wonderful in life and ministry. His name is wonderful in death. His name is wonderful in resurrection. But do you realize, as wonderful as the name of Jesus is, and when you think about all the things that we've shared today together in the Word of God, it is unique to Jesus and no other person. Every aspect of what we've talked about can only be placed upon one person in all of human history. That's pretty wonderful. But even his name gets more wonderful after resurrection. After he rose from the dead, if it wasn't wonderful enough, God says, I'm going to give him a more wonderful name than wonderful even. Wow, he makes it even more wonderful. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, it says, therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name. It doesn't say a name, it says the name. There was only one. It's too wonderful to duplicate. He gives him the name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wow, so he has a name. Not only is he wonderful, his name is wonderful, but now his name is so wonderful, every knee bows in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. Wow. His name becomes even more wonderful after the resurrection. If that could even be, and it is. So he's wonderful in birth. He's wonderful in his life, his ministry. He's wonderful in his death. He's wonderful in his resurrection. And the last point, you can go back to your notes now, because they're printed in there, is he's wonderful in his coming again. He's wonderful in his coming again. And this is an amazing thing, because when Jesus returns for you and I, when he comes again for us, when we're caught up together to be with him, the Bible tells us that we shall be like him. Now, we're already given the nature of God. We're already given the Spirit of God. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. But there's something wonderful, even more wonderful, that takes place when we see him. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says, beloved, now we are the children of God. We're the children of God right now. Not when you get to heaven or after you die. You are God's child right now if you've received Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you've placed your faith and your trust in him, you are right now God's child. You're right now his daughter. You're right now his son. You don't have to wait. It's a done deal. But there's something that's going to come that's even more wonderful than that, because it has not been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's mind-boggling to me. There's something about when he is manifested to us and among us and through us at the second coming, when we, the dead in Christ, rise first, and we who are alive and lame and remain rise up together to meet him in the air when he comes for his church. We get our glorified body, but there's something that takes place there. We see him as he is, and we become more like him. It says we become like him. There's a new way, a new dimension to that that is beyond our ability to fully comprehend and grasp here. All we can do is read it and go, Lord, I don't understand that. That's just mind-boggling. So this wonderful Jesus becomes even more wonderful when he's united with his church. He becomes more wonderful in his church. That's profound. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and you may want to turn there, even expounds on this a little bit more and goes a little bit more clearly for us. kind of clarifies a little bit more, but it is mysterious. Chapter 1, verse 10 through 12, it says when he comes, when Jesus comes, in that day, so it's speaking of that day when he returns for his bride, for his church, for his beloved, to be what? Glorified in his saints. He doesn't say glorified to his saints or with his saints, among his saints, but in his saints. He's going to be glorified in us to be admired. Look at that. To be admired among all who believe because our testimony among you was believed. So he's going to be glorified in his saints, and then he's going to be admired among all who believe. It's as if Jesus is going to come and be glorified in his people, in each individual person of his church. He is going to radiate that glory of God in each one, and you and I are going to look around, because we're going to be there on that day, we're going to look it around at all these other people, his church, his bride, and we are going to admire the glory of Christ radiating through them. And they're going to admire the glory of Christ radiating through you and me. That's too wonderful to really describe. Let's go on. Therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, look at it again, that wonderful name of Jesus, may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. So Jesus has called you and me now to literally share in that wonderful name that he's been given by God. His name shall be called Wonderful. And the amazing thing is that in Christ, we get to share in the miraculous, wonderful, incredible aspects of what God has given to Christ. Wow. And so he tells us now, go out in my wonderful name and share that good news. He tells us in Mark chapter 16, verses 17 and 18, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, you will cast out demons. You'll speak with new tongues. You'll take up serpents. If you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. You'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Why? Because that wonderful power abides in you. It's in my name. Acts chapter 3. The Apostle Paul and John, they go to the great beautiful. They say, look, silver and gold, we don't have anything. But what we have, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And the lame man rises up and walk. And the people are all astounded. And the leaders go, how did this happen? And all the people are going, how did this happen? How did you do that? And they tell him in verse 16, it was by faith in his name that this man stands before you today healed. Wow. It gets even better. The religious leaders in Acts chapter 4, they say, look, by what power or by what name have you performed this incredible miracle? This man was lame from birth. We knew him. He was a beggar all his life, and now he's up walking normally. How did that happen? And they said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And then they went on to say, there is salvation in none other. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's the wonderful name of Jesus. And the religious rulers knew the power of this wonderful name. And they said, you don't speak anymore in this name. Don't say this anymore. Don't mention, don't teach, don't do anything in the name of Jesus. And they say, their answer to them is, how can we but speak and preach and live in this name, this wonderful name that's been given to us? So let me ask you a question. Do you know Christ as your Savior? Have you received him into your heart and your life as your personal Lord and Savior? How does that happen? You can do that today. All you do by receiving Christ is placing your faith in the one who is called Wonderful. John chapter 1, verse 12. The gospel starts with these words, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the sons of God," or the children of God, "even to those who believe on his name." That's how wonderful his name is. All we have to do is believe on his name, and we are granted eternal life through Christ. No wonder his name is called Wonderful. Would you stand with me? Let's pray. Oh, Father, that you have expanded and increased our understanding of how wonderful Jesus truly is. Lord, so many times we take things for granted. We take Jesus for granted. We take salvation, forgiveness of sin for granted. Lord, that we could see how wonderful you are. How wonderful you want to be in us and through us. Lord, how miraculous our salvation is. How miraculous eternity is. How miraculous heaven is. Lord, how miraculous it is that you would love us. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name.
We hope God has spoken to you through this podcast. Tell your friends and please visit us on the web at www.calvarychapelfoothillranch.com.